Such a good job. Thank you. I'd like to start out by saying Sunday night we're having the Kempters. Since I'm preaching tonight, I get a little advertisement. Thank you. So there are some flyers back there. So after the service, please feel free to get one. Now, this is the first time I've ever used scripture up there. So bear with me if I'm a little different anyway or not. Well, I'd like to start out by saying, have you ever had a friend that you were real close to and you maybe went hunting or camping or fishing and you were supposed to get up early in the morning? And you were laying in the bed, your buddy's over there sawing logs. You're up, you're ready, you're anxious, you're ready to go get them. And the alarm goes off, sits there sleeping. Say, well, I need to go over there and wake this guy up, man, it's time to go. So you go over there and you nudge him, and you nudge him again, and he's just sawing logs. And so you try it again. You push it. Come on, wake up, man. It's time. It's time to go. He just does nothing but roll over and say, leave me alone, man. Now, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Somebody deep in sleep. You've probably been there sometime or another. I just want you to realize that this text that I had Brother Robert read, I was really hoping Billy was going to read. I was going to add chapters 3 and 4. Thank you. Thank you. But Brother Robert was reading, so I just only gave him. If you don't mind, put that scripture up there. Yeah, right there. Good. Look up there, and this is so neat because it says, for you, verse 2, for you yourselves know perfectly. Now, this is New King James Version. Perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes. What's that say? As a thief in the night. Wow. As a thief in the night. Now, think about this, folks. When I was working as a chaplain at the University of Kentucky, I looked at this scripture so differently. I thought it was for the whole church. But do you know what I realized as my pager would go off day in and day out? Listen, it's for you. He comes like that. You don't know when your time is up. The Lord says that no one knows the time nor the place when they will expire. We need to be ready. We need to be ready to die. Amen. Now, we talked about salvation the first two nights, and we talked about cleaning up our heart the first night. I love that. And Brother Billy, Lord God, he left me a little bit to preach on. I had to jump to the New Testament. He covered all the Old Testament. So, thanks, Brother Billy, for leaving me a little bit. Robert, I don't know what you're going to do. But we know it'll be good, whatever it is. Now, the issue is that he's coming, and what I realize is that we don't know when. And the sad part about it is we have a lot of friends. Brother Billy talked about it. Chad talked about it. Friends, family, loved ones. We know people that are sleeping soundly. Soundly. And you can't budge them. You try to move them, you try to bump them, you try to wake them, and they're just snoring up a storm or sawing logs, whatever you want to say. But they almost get to the point when you say, come on, I really want, they'll roll over. and move you out of their way. They don't want to see you. They'll roll over and take the covers with them. You know what I'm talking about. Now that's an illustration, but it's real. The people that you know that are, let me say, I hope I can say this in your church, going to hell, they're fixing to split it wide open because they have never trusted Jesus as their Savior. Now, there's only one way. We heard that very, very succinctly last night. There's only one way, and it's through Jesus, and so we know that. But listen, Jesus and the Father is coming back like a thief in the night. Now, I don't think like a thief, do you? No. How do you think like a thief if you're not a thief? You don't. But somehow, you have to realize that the thief does come. I do know this. They don't come at 10 o'clock at night. They don't come at 12 o'clock at night. They come just before daylight. Do you know that? I used to be one. No, not really. Not really. Not really. But I've been told. Thank you, brother. I've been told that just around 4 to 5:30 is the best time because everybody's sound asleep. And they're not thinking about nothing else. Now, some of you that go to work early, I, you know, beg to pardon with you. But the thing is that a thief comes. And so we got to realize that a thief is coming and we don't know when. So, saying that, as we look at what the scripture tells us tonight in 1 Thessalonians, I want you to think about who do you know that's sleeping? And then not only that they're sleeping, but this is what he really wants from us. Now, he's writing to Thessalonica, but he wants us to understand that in verse 10, who died for us, this is Jesus Christ, who died for us, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Is verse 10 up there? Yeah, with him. So we need to be living together with him. Now, we've heard already the brotherly love thing. We need to come together. We need to love one another. We need to unify. That's what this is all about. Do you realize that? It came from me realizing, you know what? This town is disjuncted. This church does their thing. This church does their thing. This church over here does their thing. And they all do the same thing, but independently. And I'm going, why can't we come together and love on one another? We like each other. We were raised together here, and we enjoy one another. We do like each other's families. I was just hoping there'd be a little bit louder. Wait a minute. Let me say it one more time. I said that we like each other's families. Oh, good. I was wondering, honey, we need to pack. The thing is that we need to love one another. We need to come together in him, in Christ. And so the whole focus is on Jesus. And what is he trying to do? In verse 11, it says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Let me tell you what I know the church does well, really well. When someone passes on, I'm telling you, the church, you're incredible. You come together, you rally together, you feed the families, you love the families, you visit the families, you do everything you need to do to comfort them during their most difficult times in which they face in their life. And the church does a great job. What I want to say is I think Paul would want us to do this. I think Peter would want us to do this. And they are very evangelistic people. And we are all called to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And so as we are ministers of the gospel, we need to learn to edify one another. Now, what does that mean? Let's don't just try to wake somebody up or comfort them when they mourn. But let's learn to edify one another. Now, something I do know, it's very difficult to tell somebody or address somebody with issues. Yeah. Now, if they're your child, it's a little different because you have the power. I called it the right hand of righteousness. Now, the right hand of righteousness used to have a board in it with holes in it. My wife, she threw it away. I could never find it again. Now, what it did, though, is it got their attention. And just like the Lord says to us, if he loves you, he's going to chastise you. He's going to correct you. He's going to get you in line for holiness life. Because that's what he's wanting. He's called us to be holy, therefore he wants us to be holy. Now, what we got to do is learn to edify one another. Now, when we think about that, it's difficult because when we start talking to people that we care about and we try to instruct them in righteous living and holy living, then what happens is old Slewfoot, you know who that is? It's called Satan. Satan, he'll come and he'll whisper in your ear. You know what he'll tell you? It's absolutely none of your... Yeah. It's none of my business. Well, why isn't it? Now, hear me. If I love you, if the Father loves us, what's he going to do, Billy? He's going to chastise us. He is going to instruct us in holy living. He is going to correct us. He is going to wear your bottom out. Yeah. And he's not going to play. You know what I'm talking about. That board that I went and, you know, drilled those holes into. Because, see, my hand got sore. I almost broke my hand on my son. He got big enough. When I hit, I said, ow, it hurt me. I said, that's not happening no more. I'm getting a board. And I did. Now listen, sometimes God's got to get a board after us. Now you say, this is the cream of the crop. I'm preaching to the choir. Billy laid it out pretty doggone good last night, didn't he? You can go ahead and say amen to that. What he was saying is, listen, you better wake up, church. The church is where Satan likes to sneak in. Paul talks about it. He said Satan's in the church. Where else do you think he wants to be? He's not worried about people out there because he's already got them won. Who he's worried about is you that's going to get ignited, if you will. Ignited, that means burning a flame on fire for Jesus, because Jesus, what we just celebrated some Sunday. Was that 2 weeks ago already? It's called what? Easter. Now listen, I preached Sunday and I said, you know, it's not all about the empty tomb. Let me tell you what it's about. It's about the spirit that rose him from the dead. Because that's what I'm going to help you talk about and talk a little bit more about tonight. Because edifying one another, if we don't have the spirit of the Holy Ghost in us. And listen, it's free to everybody. And I just wrote an article on that for our newsletter. And it's about, if you ask, you shall. If you seek. And what happens if you knock on the door? Woohoo! Yes! God wants us to have it. He wants us to live in power. And it's not just passively saying, oh, I'm a Christian. And, oh, you're just so sweet. And some of you are that good. You really are. You are so sweet. But listen, not all of us are. And we need somebody to love us. We need somebody to love us. And care enough about us when we do wrong. And if you really love somebody, you're going to point things out to them. Our problem is, I believe in the church, that old Slewfoot, he gets up there and he'll whisper in your ear, it's none of your business. Nope, it's none of your business. And I'm here to say, if you love me, you're going to come to me. Hear what I'm saying. If I've wronged you, or if I've done something wrong in this community, and I'm telling you, you need to dial my number. If you love me. If you don't love me, go talk to your neighbor about it. Wait a minute. Yeah, just go ahead and start talking to a bunch of people and talk all the way around me, and I'll be right there in the middle waiting for you to come to me, and you're telling everybody about whatever it is. Hear what I'm saying. If you love somebody, you're going to come to me. You're going to come to them and talk to them and say, you know what? I care so much for you that I want to share my heart with you. My heart is broken because of what I've heard or what I saw or what you did or whatever the case is. And I'm telling you, edifying the body, that's what it's about. If we don't do it, then we're gossiping. And that's not of God. And see, the church thinks it's okay. Say no.
No, it's not.
It's not. And so edifying one another, it's all about coming together, loving one another. And it's supposed to be what we are doing. Now, I love this chapter. I love 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I call it the attitude of gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it might be up there. Yeah, it says, in everything give thanks. Why? Ask. For this is what? The will of God in Christ Jesus for who? You and me. This is what God wills for us to do. He wants us to give thanks for what God has done for us. Now, sure, he's risen from the grave. But do you know what he said? He was talking to his father. He was actually talking to the disciples in John in the 14th chapter. And he was talking to them and telling them stuff. And he says, I've got to go up there to be with my father. But we will not leave you orphans. Orphans, fatherless. I will not leave you that way. What's going to happen, though, is when I get up there, and I'm going to sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And when I get up there, we won't leave you orphans. We are going to send you the Comforter. Ooh, I love that song. The Comforter has come. I can't sing it, but anyway. You know what I'm talking about. The Comforter has come. But now he also calls himself the Holy One of God. Depends on what version you have. The Holy One of God. And listen, I want you to turn with me. I'm going to flip to Proverbs, and you don't really have to turn in your Bibles because it'll be right up there. Yeah, this is neat. I'm going to start using this at church. Yeah, Proverbs 1:7. It says what? It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and what? Instruction. What's God say to do? To instruct one another, to edify one another. If you look at Galatians, the 6th chapter, Paul even says it like this. Let's bear one another's burdens. Yeah, let's help each other out. Okay, that's what it's about. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. But now let's turn over to chapter 9. And let's look what it says. I'm going to read, actually, isn't it verse 8? Verse 8, do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Isn't that something? Who's a scoffer? Yeah, well, let's look at that. Lest he hate you, rebuke a wise man, and what will he do? Wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. When you correct somebody or rebuke them or instruct them, you mean they're going to love me? No, that doesn't even make sense. Then it says, give instruction to a wise man and he will, what? He will be still wiser and teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Now that's crazy that that's up there, isn't it? But now look, this is bold. I tried to bold it. It's hard to see there. But verse 10, look at what it says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We heard that already, didn't we? In 1:7. But then it goes on to say, and the knowledge of who? The Holy One of God. That Holy Ghost. The Comforter. The Helper, whichever version you have. Look, he says, and the knowledge of the Holy One is what? Understanding. I'll realize why I'm doing what I'm doing. And therefore, it says, for by me your days will be multiplied and years of life will be added to you. I don't know about some of you, but I'm going to turn 56 tomorrow. If I make it, you know, I still got 24 hours just about. Well, not quite, but anyway. Now, listen. It was up there. Oh, it's back. There you go. For by me your days will be multiplied and years of life will be, what? Now, all I know is I like that I'm turning 56. But I know some that are 76. And I know some that are 86. There's some in here 90. Man, something happened, didn't it? It added unto you. Thank God. Thank God. I want added life. I want to do what is good so that I can stay around a while. You know, there's a commandment. Isn't that something? We try to tell our daughter this all the time. If you honor your father and mother, it will what? Yeah, I'm trying to teach that to her, but she's back there in the, taking care of the kids. She doesn't hear it, you know. Anyway, no, she's a good girl. We're very blessed. But the thing is that, listen, as we instruct the ones we love, we're helping them learn. How else do you think we learned? Who taught you to be where you are tonight? To make the choice to be here tonight? Somebody in Sunday school, some preacher you loved, some parents that cared enough about you that brought you to church and taught you about church and taught you about faithfulness and taught you about commitment and taught you about covenant and talked to you about this is the truth of the Word of God, and it's an infallible Word of God, and that God's Word reigns. Amen. That's what they've taught you. Otherwise, you have other things to do than be here tonight. I'm telling you, there's enough to be going on out there. I'm telling you, all over. I could have stayed home last night. I can tell you this right now. Real easy. You know why? I love basketball. Yeah. Villanova, come on. What a game. The last 4.7 seconds. And they dribble all the way. Oh, excuse me. And they dribble all the way down. He gives it to him, a three-pointer, and wins it at the buzzer. I could have stayed home. I get excited about basketball. But listen, I get more excited about my Jesus. I get more excited about learning about the Word of God. I get more excited about being around my friends and my family that is called the family of God. Amen. I love you. I do. I wouldn't be here if I didn't love you. Because God has called me doesn't mean I need to be right here. I could have had something else to do. But God does things for a reason. And you're here for a reason. And therefore, we have to be ready to go. No one knows. Listen, do you realize that 2 years ago, we had it over at the Methodist Church? You remember that? We had 198 people in the church the first night. Couldn't hardly get maybe five more in there. I mean, that I could count anyway. And therefore, the next night, we had what? Tornado warnings. The next two nights, it was horrible weather. But there was 107 that came both nights. I said, where else would you want to be? But in church. Man, if they're going to take the church, take me with you. You know, it's almost like the Calgon man. No. Oh, come on, Tony. All right, let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. Didn't he say, take me away? I just wondered. You know, just making sure I was on the same page. So now listen, God wants us to have this attitude of thanksgiving, thankful for one another, thankful for my brothers. I even tell them every night when we pray, I'm thankful that I have a group of guys that I can hold hands with and come into an agreement to preach the word of God and to stand on the promises of God, to lead the people of Linden. What a privilege. And they think it's the same way. And so we hold hands and we come together and we're grateful. We have grateful hearts. And so we continue to think on terms of such as this. Now look at what Paul says in Thessalonica there, 5:23. It says, now, this is the end of it, but I'm going to jump over to 1 Peter in a second. It says, now may the God of peace himself, what's that word? Sanctify you completely, not partially, not some, not a little bit. It says completely, and make your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what sanctify is? It's a real, real simple term. It means set apart for. Set apart for. Now, I want you to know that I used to work as an evangelist and traveled around the country when I was going through my educational process. And what I realized, there's a lot of people that when an evangelist comes in, he can preach his heart out and he can say all sorts of things and he's headed out the door. You know what I mean? So they used to say they stir it up and leave. Whatever that is, you know. And then they leave. You know what God showed me? He showed me, leave them with something. I developed a 9-week Bible study to follow up my preaching because I knew what I would be talking about. And in essence, every church needs the basic fundamentals of the Word of God. And you just cover them in a different way. And every sermon is going to be different because of the different audience. But the beauty of it is that as I went around, I realized there's a lot of people in church that think they don't need it. I know that already. I am the head usher. I'm the head trustee. What's wrong with you? I've been teaching Sunday school forever. I was there before Grandma Moses. I don't need what you got, preacher. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of the living God came and convicted their heart of something. And I watched older gentlemen, older ladies come sobbing, walking down the aisle to the altar in a repentant heart because they were broken because of the Word of God set them free. Listen, it wasn't what Brother Tony did. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God that transforms life. In John 8:32, if you know the truth shall... Yes. It's the truth that sets people free. Not Brother Tony's preaching, not Brother Chad, not Brother Billy, not Brother Robert, not Brother Rob, none of us. It's the truth of the Word of God that sets the captives free. Therefore, we need to be ready for our friends and our family to wake them up. To wake them up with the Word. It's not the physical abuse that I used to give my kids. No, I mean, with that board. That's why my wife got rid of it. I didn't want their bottoms to get hurt. And I said, it didn't hurt me. Meaning I got the board. Look what it, thank you very much. Hey, it won't hurt them as long as we love them and continue to, if you will, mold them and make them into the image of God. If you do that, then they understand why they're getting correction. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus, he made it so simple. He wants us to love Jesus first. But he also wants us to love our neighbor. And as we love our neighbor, that's sometimes that's correcting them. Listen, we get together for breakfast and we have conversation one to another, and we asked each other about things. Who else better to go to than somebody that'll love you in the love of God? That's what it's about, is loving one another and edifying one another and building up one another and helping someone get sanctified, set apart for the glory of God. Now, I want you to hear what Peter, I love Peter. Peter, I just love Peter in that the only guy you know that was a roughneck, you know what I'm saying, just a flat roughneck, not a redneck, a roughneck, had to be a strong guy, was a fisherman, had a fleet of boats. Jesus comes by and just says, come, follow me, and he leaves everything and follows him. Now, that's pretty cool in itself. But then he becomes the number one head honcho of the disciples. That's pretty cool too. He's got the three that sort of are gathered together, but he's the main one. And then even to the point where when Jesus was interacting with them, and Peter said, well, Lord, you know better than that. It's not supposed to happen that way. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And what did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. Why? Because he had no clue what God was doing at that point. Peter had no clue. Do you know there's people in the church have no clue what God's doing because they haven't prayed in a while. They are not in their word. They are not concerned about anybody else. They're only concerned about what do I get out of it. Listen, you have no clue what God's doing in the church. If you're not on your face, if you're not praying for other people, if you're not in a devotional life, if you're not in the Word studying it, you have no clue what God is really doing in your church. And so what we have to do is realize Peter, he was the only one that said, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Then he said, listen, Jesus, you know I'll never forsake you. Didn't he say that? Yeah, he did. And pretty soon there's a rooster crowing. I can't do a crow. You know, somebody could do a chicken or a rooster, you know. But that rooster's crowing. And what is Peter doing? He's like that older person I was saying, and it doesn't have to be older. It could be a younger person. He was sobbing. He was broken. Why? A rooster crowed. No. No, God said, when you deny me the third time, a rooster would crow. It wasn't that the rooster crowed. It was that God said, when you deny me the third time, the rooster will crow. And it broke Peter's spirit and he started sobbing. That's what has to happen to us today in the church, folks. We got to realize what God's word says, and when somebody says it, then guess what? We need to get broken and get right with God and take that edification and receive it with love and remold us. Just like the potter in the clay, Jesus is the potter on the wheel, and he's massaging you, adding a little bit of water to loosen up that clay a little bit, and he's molding you and making you into a perfect vessel. A perfect vessel to be used for the glory of God. If you will, sanctified, set apart, filled up to overflowing, to go out and do what? To go out and edify one another and build the church. Do you know it's your responsibility to bring the sheep in? Man, I thought you guys would stand up in a big old ovation. Yeah! Woo! Yeah! It's all up to you to bring the sheep in. The sheep herder is to tend them, not to multiply them. That is sheep. And so if you think about it, God's setting you apart. He's sanctifying you for and filling you up with his spirit that raised him from the dead so that you can go out and live a life victoriously, so you'll be ready, so when the trump sounds, we're ready to go. And our friends are ready to go. And our family's ready to go. Because why? We love them. We care about them. And we love them so much, we want them to experience the blessings of God that we experience. Hear me. Tell me, what is the world missing? They're missing the joy of the Lord. They're missing the peace that surpasses all understanding. And you have it. And we tend to set on our derrieres. That's a very nice way of putting it. And just saying, well, I'm okay, Brother Tony, and that's all I'm concerned about. Wrong! We need to be getting concerned about who's out there, not who's in here. We're going to love you. I love you. And you're easy to love. Most of you. Most of you are easy to love. But listen, what's really important is when we get somebody new. Now, I used to share this, and so bear with me in just a moment. When a new person comes to Christ, what do we express it as? He becomes a, or she becomes a babe, right? A babe in Christ. Now tell me this. I don't know if you've ever been in the nursery, but maybe this is happening even in there now. That babies, there's only a couple things they do. You know, I mean, let's get real. Now, we're talking infants, okay? Babes in Christ, infants. They eat. After they eat. That's about all they do. Until they get to a certain size, they eat and they... Come on, Billy. Are you with me? Sometimes when I'm sitting in the pew, woo, it does smell. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because somebody, yeah, they're babes in Christ. They don't understand what you know. They don't have the knowledge and the wisdom, the understanding up there that I talked about. They don't have that yet. They're trying to figure out, where do I fit in this group? Somebody's got to come and love them. Somebody's got to come and mentor them and take them underneath their arm and say, you know, why don't you come to Sunday school with me? Or can you go to lunch today? I'd love to take you to lunch. And if you have any questions about our service or what's going on at our church, I'll be glad to tell you about it. Listen, there are people that it is very difficult to come in those doors, whatever doors you have at your church. It's not a recline, a rotisserie type door. Man, it's, you know, you get in there and they sling you in the, no. Man, it's hard to open up that door. Why? They don't know what's inside. Why do you think we have the Easter egg hunt? Why do you think we have preaching on the square? Why do you think we have that kind of stuff? So that people can meet you out there. And then they want to come in here. That's what it's about. That's why we're having the gospel sing. Man, everybody likes music. Bring them on in. It's called a doorway, open doorway. Domino's at our church. You guys like to eat? Yeah, we're going to eat. I'm going to feed everybody. How many of you would come? Depends when it is, right? Of course, it's going to be at 11:55. On Sunday, you all will be in church. See, I don't have to worry. Right? It's going to be a free lunch. Maybe I'll make it 11:45 because you guys might sneak out early. Yeah, I'll make it 11:45. Free lunch at Screamers. Everybody, come. I'm picking up the tab. Listen, church is empty out. Say, Brother Robert, man, listen, we're cutting it short today. Brother Tony's paying for lunch. We're all going. Rob? Billy, come on, man. We're breaking off. The trustees are coming to you saying, man, listen. The deacons, the head deacons. We're making an executive order. It's free food. No. No. Listen, what we got to do is learn to love one another, though, and nurture one another, and take people where they are. And accept them for who they are. They all aren't mature Christians. Paul talks about maturing, and that's a wonderful word, maturing. Do you know it's not your age that makes you mature? I'm talking about spiritual things, not physical things. It's the people that are well read of the word that are mature. That learn the word, that get the word in them, that the word comes out of them. There's evidence that you have been with the Lord. Why? Because you know his word. You know his instructions. You know what he's asking of you. And therefore you act upon those things in which everyone knows. Listen, let me give you a great hint. I didn't put it on there, but it's in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, the 8th verse, and you don't even have to turn there. You can quote it. It says, the word of God, or he, or God, whichever version you have, is the same. What does that tell us? He's not changing. You're changing. You're changing to become like him. He's given us an instruction manual. And if you don't believe me, read 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. It talks about the word of God is God breathed. For what purpose? Well, if you ask, go look it up. You'll see. For instruction and holy living. Isn't that amazing? What? The word of God is for instruction in holy living. Yes, it is. And therefore, we have to learn it and study it and show ourselves approved. 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, become a work person that needeth not to be ashamed, but that is continually, not once, continually learning how to rightly divide the word of truth or the word of God, whichever it is. Whatever version you have. So let's look at 1 Peter. Why do we want to know the word? Why do we want to love one another? Why do we want to be sanctified, if you will, sanctified, set apart? This is why. If you look at 1 Peter, the first chapter, the 13th verse, and I'll read it quickly. It should be, oh man, look at that. It's up there. Therefore, gird up the loins of your what? Your mind, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do you hear that? Obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, right? Because now we have wisdom, right? And we have knowledge and we have understanding because of the Holy Ghost that's in us. But as he who called you is holy, what? He who has called you is holy says this, you also be holy in all of your... That means everything you do. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in, what's it say? Fear. Did we hear that before? Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord. Do you know what fear actually means? It means to hold God in high esteem or awe. That he is your all in all. He is my everything. I am amazed, enamored by his presence. I just want to bask in his presence. Okay, so that's fear. That's what we're looking at. So fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by what? Tradition? From your fathers? But with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The only way you become righteous is through the blood of the Lamb of God. That's where righteousness is. That's the only way we are righteous, because our best of righteousness is as of filthy rags. My preachers are helping me. Good. As of the Lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from what? The dead, and gave him glory, if you will, majesty, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in what? Obeying the truth. The truth is the word of God. Through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that he's given to us, in sincere love of the brethren, it says, love one another. Wait a minute, what? Fervently. What in the world does that mean? That means with a little gusto, a little affection, a little I want to. I'm really wanting to love you. I don't want to love you just because somebody said I have to. I have it in me. I have the love of God in me that I want to hug Brother Robert. I love him. Why? Because he's God's man and we are one in Christ. Do you know we have the same spirit in him as it in me? The same spirit. Folks, we, you know what? We cry out, Abba, Father. Paul talks about that in Romans. Cry out, Abba, Father. We have the same Father. Robert Pierce, Dr. Robert Pierce and me. How does that happen? It's the Spirit of the living God. Amen. It's the love of God. Amen. Listen, we are to love one another. A fervent with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. The Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Now listen what it closes out and says. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass does what? It withers. Doesn't matter how big you are, how much you have, it doesn't matter. It's where's your heart? Where's your heart? Are you ready? Are you ready? Where's your heart? All the glory of man as the flower of the grass withers and its flowers or flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Now listen, I complained that the preachers preached too long the first two nights. Nobody's left, thank God. I can only tell you this. There's a lot of people sleeping. There's a lot of people sleeping that you know. Don't let Satan tell you it's none of your business. Because if you really love them, you're going to try to wake them up. Let me say that one more time. If you really love them, you're going to try to wake them up. We want people to serve the Lord. Brother Billy brought that out last night. It's not about just salvation. It's about getting to the point of knowing your Lord so well that His love is in you. His Spirit is in you. The Spirit that rose Him from the grave is in you. And it doesn't matter who stands before you, that you have the words of comfort for them. Do you know what? I shared this Sunday about sharing the peace of God. You know, when Jesus appeared before the disciples in the upper room, that was all war roomed up. They were there because they didn't want to die. But Jesus appeared to them and they were, you could only imagine that they were trembling because where did you come from? And then he said, peace be with you. Folks, we have something so special. So special. We can heal the brokenhearted. We can comfort those who mourn. We have the love of God that can lift people up out of the muck and the mire of life. We have an embrace. Do you know, hugging people is okay. Agape love, not erotic love. Agape love. Love people for the spirit that's in them because we have the same Father. And boy, when you get that, when you start practicing the prayer time, the Bible study, the devotion, the fellowship, you get the word in you. It's going to come out of you. And people recognize you're ready to go. You're ready to go. We have a closing song. Let us turn to that. But this time, I am again grateful and honored to be able to stand before you and share the word of God.